Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 202. And my guest today is the very lovely Jan from Western Australia. Now, as you know, if you've listened to this Dream Show before, and if you don't know, I'll tell you, when we have a guest on the show, the idea is that the guest brings on the dream. I don't know anything about the dream until the moment we hit the record button. So you and I hear the dream at the same time and we go from there. And this is certainly the case with Jan's dream. However, I did know a little bit about it beforehand. And that is because when Jan emailed me to volunteer to be a guest on the Dream Show, she said, I've got an interesting situation because this dream is actually from 5 years ago, but I was sorting out some stuff the other day and the dream fell out of a folder. And her story actually went on from there, but it was such an intriguing beginning. We thought, we've got to have Jan on the show because she's, you know, why did this dream fall out of the folder now? You know, we're going to look at a dream that's 5 years old, but why has it come up again now? And it actually gets curiouser and curiouser, as you will discover as you listen to the podcast. Now, if you've come in through iTunes, great, that's fantastic. You've missed the blog that accompanies the podcast. We always have a little blog that accompanies the podcast. If you've come in through my website at janetheresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, to click through to the podcast, you might have noticed there's a picture there. Now, this picture is Jan refers to at the end of the podcast. So, you're getting curiouser and curiouser. So you may look at that picture and think, how does this weave into the dream? You'll find out as you listen. I've tried to keep the wording that I've written in the blog as mysterious as well, so that it all unfolds towards the end. But I will say that if you, like I am a lover of things, all things synchronicity as well as dreams. You know, that sort of feeling that there are dreams, yep. And then there's waking life where synchronicities happen and things happen. And sometimes you think, if I look at this synchronicity like a dream, what would that mean? So we're going to be looking at Jan, not only of the dream from 5 years ago and what it means, and doing that very well, I know, because we're adding this beginning onto the show, having already recorded that part. We're going to be doing that. And then we're going to be looking at, why did this dream fall out of her folder a week ago, after all those years? Why has it come up now? And then we're going to be looking at all sorts of other things, including this photo. So this is power-packed with all kinds of things, and I know you're absolutely going to love it. But just before we go there, because I have to do it, I have to give my website address, which I have already done, but janetheresa.com. If you want to go there, that's where you can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. It's also where you can find out about the online dream courses that you can do with me, that you do in your own self-paced time. You can find out about my book, my services, all the blogs that you can read, lots of free resources, everything, janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook or Instagram. But right now, let's get into Jan and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Jan.
Thank you, and it's great to be here. I'm really excited.
That's fantastic. Can you share which part of the globe you are sitting in at the moment?
Well, apart from my office, I am in WA. I'm actually in the southwest of WA, about 250 kilometres south of Perth, which is, I believe, the most isolated capital city in the world.
Wow.
So I'm south of that.
So for all our international listeners that believe that Australia is pretty remote as it is already, Jan is even more remote than that. Thank goodness for podcasts and the internet and all these wonderful things.
Indeed, yes.
Jan, of course, as usual with The Dream Show, I have no idea what dream the guest is bringing, and I don't know about your dream, but I do know that you have an interesting story about how your dream came up for you. So can you just give us that little preamble maybe and then launch into describing the dream for us?
Sure. Okay, so the other day I was tidying up my office, and I picked up a file, and out fell the dream. Well, I said, why are you back in my life? Now, at the time, I thought it was very strange that the dream was in the office and not in my bedroom with all my other dream books. And so it was in a different room. I did recall, looking at it, that I'd had the dream about 5 years ago, and I remembered that it was about 4 a.m. So that's all I knew. the thing was this, that I had added a postscript to it. Now, that's something that I never did. You know, as I record my dreams, excuse me, I do it, you know, I write it, and then I fall back to sleep. I read the dream, and it still didn't make quite sense to me, but at the bottom of the dream, I had scrawled, "I'm not really sure what's going on here." Now, incidentally, or coincidentally, the night before, I didn't have anything to take to bed to read, and I went into my library, and, oh, surprise, surprise, I picked up Dream Alchemy, your book, which has been beside my me for some years now. And the next morning, I took it into my office, and I sat down at my desk, and then I went off. And I came back, and I realized, as I sat down, that the dream was on the right, and your book was on Dream Alchemy was on the left. Oh, I thought, this is a bit odd. And I turned your book over, and I saw down at the bottom your website. So I hadn't been on it. I found it. I found your little little box about the podcasts. Put up my hand, and the rest is history.
And the funny thing that I have to add there for everyone listening is that when Jan contacted me, we actually had another guest lined up for this episode, and that guest is still going to be on the Dream Show. But because the guest is in the UK, where it's actually quite difficult to align our time zone windows, we were having a bit of difficulty, and we're just at the point of thinking, oh, look, we'll just make you next month because this is getting too close to the date the podcast needs to come out. And as that happened, Jan's email came in basically saying, pick me. So I thought, right, well, I know there's a few of you the list, but you know, you get picked in this case. And then the kind of ideal time for us also manifested because one of my clients said, oh, I've got this awful thing happening at work. Is there any possibility at all that we can reschedule my session? So this space has just opened up. So the expectations, I hope. So Jan, would you like to move on to telling us the dream from 5 years ago?
Yes, right. Now, it's a short dream. As my dreams go, it is short. I've entitled it The House. Okay. So my mother and I live in a room in an old Victoriana house. It is quite comfortable and we are quite contented. Suddenly, something happens on the roof and water starts to pour into the room and the room starts to slowly flood. When the water reaches past my ankles, I know we have to get out of the room. So I start to look for a way out. I look around and I notice a door that I've never seen before, and in the door is a key. I rush to the door, turn the key, fling the door open, and suddenly find myself in a very beautiful room full of gorgeous furnishings. I am amazed because I didn't know this room existed, although I've lived in this house for many, many years. I then see another door, and opening that, find myself in an equally exotic and beautiful room. Just then, a group of people, about six or eight, arrive. Now, ostensibly, they're there to help me with the original flooding room. Now, here I turn, and I notice that the door to that room is still open, but the water does not flow out into the newly found rooms. Mm. However, for some reason, these people start opening all the cabinets and drawers in the two newly found rooms. And in doing so, they find them stashed with bottles of alcohol, the best and most expensive that money can buy. I don't take any notice of them when they start to drink the alcohol, as I'm more interested in exploring my beautiful surroundings. And then coming upon a very, very ornate cupboard, I open the door and I find a bag inside. I take it out and find it is stuffed with money. Mm-hmm. I do not count it, but I know there is enough there to keep me financially safe for the rest of my life. Just then I turn around and I find everyone is in various stages of drunkenness, and I'm exceedingly cross. So one by one I start to throw them out of the house, and then I throw what's left of the alcohol, which isn't much, after them. As the last person is thrown out, the walls of the house start to shimmer slightly and gently collapsed down around me. But strangely, the ceiling remains over my head. With the walls gone, I can see clearly and find the house is sitting on an exquisite island surrounded by lush gardens. The island is located in the middle of a crystal clear, pristine lake. As I stand there, just at that moment, I feel water start to seep up through the floorboards of the house. But strangely, I'm not afraid. Rather, I'm actually very excited.
Mm.
And that is the end of the dream.
Mm. Oh, how brilliant, how beautiful. And it paints
as I said, I have more fun asleep than I do awake, my dear. So
I think you find most people listening to this show are in that category. Well, at least sometimes. Simply because, not because our waking lives are at all lacking, but because our dreaming lives can bring so much richness that, you know, that often lays outside our possibilities for experience in waking life. You know, the way that you've described some of those scenarios and the rooms and the crystal lake, obviously just wouldn't happen in real life, but also even though you've got limited words there and limited time to describe it, gives us all a kind of vision of something that's almost untouchable in waking life. But because this is a dream, it does reflect something that is touchable in waking life, and that's our job to go there. So I love it. So we're going back. We're doing two things here. First of all, we're going back to look at if you and I had spoken about the dream on the morning you had it, we'd be looking at that dream to see what it meant in your life then, and we'll be doing that. But then at the same time, what we want to do is look at why this dream has come back into your life now when it fell out of the book unexpectedly. So, you know, I believe that even in our waking life, what happens around us in our waking life can be looked at, particularly during times of awe, change or challenge, can be looked at symbolically as if it were a dream too. So we'll be looking at some level at why has this dream come back to you now, almost as a waking dream, and what can we get from that? So we're going to be going down those two avenues, but starting out kind of in logical order by looking at the dream as if we were speaking 5 years ago first. So a dream generally reflects the last 1 to 2 days of whatever's been happening for you consciously and unconsciously as your brain or your mind is processing the dreams. The first instance, Jan, as we look at this dream and explore it together, is where we're going to try and relate it to what was happening for you at the time of the dream 5 years ago. And I know that's a big ask, but you never know. So,
Well, look, normally it wouldn't be. But in this instance, you know, when I'm recording my dreams, and I do it very regularly, there's always a preamble. I drop down what's happening in my life. With this, there was nothing.
Okay.
Nothing, so I have got no idea there.
Great.
I know what happened after, but not before. So I, you know, I can. I would
we'll,
say,
we'll awaken.
Look, I'm retired. Yeah. I'm retired, and you know, my life is pretty wonderful.
Yes.
And I don't have much drama. So I would think, you know, it was business as usual, so to speak.
Okay,
know.
That's lovely. So we will in this process awaken what you didn't realise was happening at the time, even though it felt all
yes.
same. Yes, I love it.
Yes.
So I just have one question to begin with. Somewhere down the dream, you said, doors into rooms I hadn't seen before. Was the house the actual house that you lived in at the time, or was it a dream house and then the sense of, oh, these are rooms that I haven't seen before?
No, a dream house.
It was totally a dream house, okay.
Yeah.
So, and you were there with your mother, and was your mother still alive at the time of the dream?
Well, you see, that's a funny thing. No, my mother had died 25 years before.
Right.
And she actually, you know, although intrinsically I knew that the two of us lived in that room, she was not present in the room in the dream.
Okay, it was just a feeling that the energy of mum was around me in the dream. This room has got something to do with me and my mum.
Oh, okay, right.
I guess,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, well, right up front, I mean, your mother may or may not represent the mothering instincts with you, but if you were to describe your mother in three words that described her personality or her approach to life, what would they be off the top of your head?
Long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was controlled by my father.
Mm.
I'm not sure she was happy.
Mm. Okay.
That's the reality of it.
Mm. Oh, that's dreams are all about reality. So at the very beginning of your dream, there may or may not be some feeling that this dream is going to address either a sense of the mother within me, my inner mother, or address at some level, some sense of long suffering and being controlled, whether or not you felt you were long suffering and being controlled, or whether it's about why I am the person I am, because in my life I have experienced people like my mum, for example, who has been long suffering and controlled, which can then set up within me ways in which I live my life because that is part of my past. So we're just going to put that to one side at the moment and leave that there. But you're in an old...
Can I just interrupt you? As I described my mother, I described myself within my marriage.
Okay, that's right.
Which was over.
How long had it been over at the time of the dream, Jan?
Let me see. Probably 20 years.
20 years, so a long time.
Yeah.
When you think about, you know, you said it was an old Victorian room. What does that mean to you in daytime? Is that something that you, is it a decor that you like, or is it a feeling of old, or what does a Victorian room mean to you?
Okay, to my knowledge and memory, the Victorian house has been front and centre in at least two Paramount dreams.
Uh-huh. Right,
so that's all I can tell you. It's there,
okay.
And why it's there, I don't know.
Have you any idea when you go back to, if you can remember back to the first dream where you had the old Victorian house, have you any idea how long ago that was?
That was, I'm 80 now,
yeah.
And that was when I was 42, when I got divorced. I had a dream. I was seeing a psychiatrist and I had a dream, and the dream featured this Victoriana house very, very strongly.
Okay, that's lovely. So that was divorced from the marriage that you're talking about, the long when you felt long-suffering and controlled?
Exactly.
Exactly. So that dream symbol, that's your personal dream symbol that I'm sure you've already explored because you were seeing a psychiatrist at the time, but that symbol of the old Victorian house or the old Victorian room most probably relates to something about the time that you got divorced or how you looked back on yourself or the marriage or around that. So for whatever reason, it's come up again. It came up again 5 years ago when you had this dream. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. We may think that we've dealt with that issue. And actually, it's not a whole house. It's just a room. But some small aspect of this issue has come up again for me to look at. And, in parenthesis, again, when the dream fell out of your book the other day, but we'll come back to that. and these things, you know, even though they're well behind us, you know, any traumatic or difficult or challenging situation in our life can often offer up its gifts at different stages in our lives, can't it? You know, you can think, I'm healed from that, it's done, but in later years, oh, here's something else I can take from that experience I had. So I think it's kind of along those lines. So we've definitely got a feeling of this dream is going to be about me, Jan, feeling long-suffering and controlled back when I was in that marriage. And for some reason, it's coming up now. And that's why the mother in the dream is not actually in the room, but it's more that it's a sense of we have lived in this room. So it's kind of like this is a past thing, but it's come up.
Yeah.
There's energy hanging around. And there's water pouring in through the roof. So if you look at the house, you know, one way of looking at the house is to symbolize the self, in which case the roof would then be your mind or your intellect or your emotions or your spiritual self rather than your physical body, and there's some sense of water coming down and flooding here. And although our dream symbols, we can't say that we all, that a dream symbol means the same to everyone, or our dream symbols are totally unique, there can be some dream symbols which are often similar for many of us, and water can often, but not always, but often represent emotions for many of us, because water has that kind of feeling of it. It comes in different flows and feelings, you know, a raging waterfall, a calm pond, depressing rain, whatever. So our dreamy minds can often bring up water to represent what maybe in your case, a deluge, an emotional deluge. So we have the feeling that, oh, at the time of this dream, there was some kind of emotional, maybe emotional flooding coming on, or some kind of recognition of some emotional or spiritual flow that was flooding down or inundating and, you know, coming more into your physical everyday awareness at the time, even though, as you said, at the time of the dream, you took a note to say, well, what actually wasn't much happening in my life, but there probably was.
Yes.
Yeah. And you had the feeling, okay, I've got to get out of here. So then there's a new door and a key, which is fantastic. So even on the level of, you know, you said there wasn't actually much happening in your life at the time. It was like, it was comfortable. It was fine. It was just all the same. Maybe just the fact that there's that new door and key is, yeah, sometimes no matter how comfortable and same life might be, there's time for a new door and a new key.
Okay.
So, so you open the key, the door, and wonderfully, the room that you walk into is absolutely beautiful. And I love the way that the water didn't follow you. That it's kind of like I've opened the door, but the water just
that
stays.
That was very curious.
Yeah,
I love that too.
So there's that sense even at that stage of the mere fact of opening to something new, and having the sort of courage and excitement to walk into that. Kind of stops the whatever that emotional deluge was, whatever it was. It doesn't follow me. The mere act of opening, becoming open to something new, leaves all that behind me.
Yep.
And of course, it's amazing. What you see is absolutely amazing. And then there's another door. It's like, oh, once I start inviting new things into my life or walking through, you know, opening up to new things, it's not just one door leads to another. Everything is exotic and beautiful. Life transforms. But then we have 6 to 8 people to arrive to help with the flooding. Any idea whether they were male or female or age or anything at all about those 6 to 8 people, Jan?
In retrospect, they were male. I don't recall any females. No.
Right.
And they weren't friends. They were people I didn't know.
You didn't know. And what would have been their collective energy, or was there not one?
I wasn't aware of any at the start.
Mm.
And when they arrived, I certainly was when the dream progressed.
When they started drinking.
Yes.
So as they arrived, they were just random strangers, but they were a precise number, 6 to 8. And one of the things that our dreams can sometimes be precise on is numbers. But the units can be curious. So, for example, 6 to 8 could relate back to 6 to 8 years ago prior to the dream, or
okay.
When you were aged 6 to 8. I think that one's unlikely. It feels more like 6 to 8 years before the dream.
Right.
But it could also be with 6 to 8 people. It could be I've got 6 to 8 different ways of dealing with flooding in my life. You know, when I get depressed or feel overwhelmed or whatever, there are 6 to 8 ways that I deal with this, because you've got 6 to 8 people coming in with a dream, male and very practical, to sort out this flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be too time consuming to list those at the moment. But, you know, that might be something worth having a look at.
Sure, absolutely.
Were you a drinker at the time?
Oh, well, look, I have to tell you, when I saw that dream, I thought, oh, gosh, Jan, I think you might have to give up drinking, because, I'll have a glass of wine every day.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe you have to give up drinking altogether. That was what my thought was when I reread the dream.
Right, okay. But you definitely weren't having 6 to 8 a day. You were only having one.
Oh, no. No.
The reason it jumped into my mind then too is because I said, you know, 6 to 8 ways perhaps of dealing with flooding, and having a drink can be one way for anybody. You don't have to be an alcoholic for anybody to say, oh, look, I'll just have a drink and that'll look much better. I'll just calm down,
yes.
I'll just have a drink. So, you know, having a drink might be one of 6 to 8 kind of coping mechanisms that you had at the time. But we'll brush over that for the moment, and you go to another room, which is still beautiful, and they start opening the cabins and drawers and find all the alcohol. Oh, no, you start reading my notes, which are very impossible to read. You start opening the cabinets and drawers. Oh, they start opening the cabinets and drawers first, not you, isn't it? And they find the alcohol. And it's the most expensive alcohol that money can buy. So we've got two references to money. There's that. And then when you find the bag, there's loads of money in that too. So we've got two references to money and expense, which may mean actual money or may mean, you know, that may be symbolic of a value or self-value or something like that, which we'll look at. So we've got the openings of cabinets and drawers. So again, if we look at the house as maybe being representative of the self, then we've opened doors into whole new areas of your being that you didn't realize existed. What amazing potential. I didn't know that this existed in myself. And oh, here's another whole area of myself that I didn't know about. And maybe all this was locked away when I was, for example, when I was long suffering and controlled in my marriage years ago. And suddenly, for some reason now, 5 years ago, I'm feeling this again. I didn't know I had all this potential that I had locked myself out of in order to be long-suffering and controlled. When I release long-suffering and controlling, I discover all these extra, not mini doors as well, you know, cabinets and cupboards, like mini doors that we open. There is so much amazing stuff. In fact, there's stuff in here that is, you know, all more expensive than money can buy, all this wonderful alcohol. What would you say alcohol back then, 5 years ago, represented for you?
Oh, it was, you know, to be honest, I guess it was just part of my daily life. You know, comes dinner time, I'd have a glass of wine and that would be it, you know. So it was probably a tool for relaxation.
Yeah. So a tool for relaxation and simultaneously part of everyday life, part of the structure of my life. At that time, you know, that alcohol was the most expensive that money could buy. Did you feel at the time that you were giving yourself, you know, when you have your tool for relaxation after dinner back in those days, was that a feeling of I'm giving myself the best value that I can or not?
No, I wouldn't have felt that. Mm-hmm. Very rarely in my life have I drunk alcohol, which was the most expensive that money could buy. I can tell you that.
Right. Okay.
It just didn't happen.
And was that because it's not necessary? Because it's a false notion, or because you purposefully budgeted and would prefer to have drunk something more expensive?
No, it was just that I didn't have any money. You know.
Right. Okay.
I never had the money to have that sort of a lifestyle, shall we say?
Okay. No. Fantastic. So in the dream, there's a sense of actually, I do. There are areas of myself that do have the ability, whether or not it's the money, do have the ability to unlock things of value that I think that I can't afford myself, whether it is actual financial outlay on a means to be able to buy stuff, or whether it's a means to be able to bring feelings and essence and energy into my life. You know, I do have this. So it's moving from a sense of not having enough, not having the money, to a sense of having an abundance, I guess, but not necessarily about money, just an abundance of something else. When you were long-suffering and controlled, there would have been a distinct lack of abundance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is 5 years ago. It's suddenly, I know there is more to life than this. There's this. And these 6 to 8 people know it, and they're going to really take it right into their bodies, and they're going to really enjoy it. until you're angry with them. Because so there are lots of different reasons why you might have been angry with them, but in the dream, why were you angry with them?
Well, I was angry with them because, you know, ostensibly they'd come to help clean up the room, the flooded room, and here they were having a fine time enjoying themselves, and whether or not I was annoyed that they were drinking my alcohol, my good alcohol, I don't know. It was just that I didn't expect them to do that, and I was annoyed. And
okay.
That was when I started to throw them out.
Okay, I love it, I love it, I love it. So really deep down at the bottom, you threw them out because they were enjoying themselves instead of fixing things up.
I suppose so. I guess so.
And you were really cross, and whenever you have, you know, an extreme emotion in a dream, it's often an emotion that you have repressed or not expressed and needs expression. So there may have been, you're getting it already, but I'll just explain for everyone else that's listening that might be a step behind. So there's a sense of in the past, you may have put more value on fixing things up or getting things right or doing things the way they should have been or dealing with emotional issues in a long-suffering way, rather than allowing yourself to enjoy yourself, and you're cross about that in the dream. I'm cross about people enjoying themselves. Well, maybe I should be enjoying myself more, letting more joy into my life. But in fact, I think, Jan, that when you let them out in the dream, I think there were many different avenues you could have taken in the dream, and letting them out in the dream was one of many good things to do. You know, we could have also kept them in there and done other amazing things. But letting them out, in a sense, I think, let go of the of your anger and your crossness. So let go of that. Yes. At that moment, it was like I absolve myself, Jan, from having locked out enjoyment, permission for enjoyment from my life in all these years.
That's resonating. Okay.
Good. That's great. Because at that stage, you'd then discovered the bag full of money, and you knew it was enough to look after you and keep you safe. Does that word that I've written down say safe, keep you safe for the rest of your life?
Pretty much so, yes.
Yeah.
It is enough to keep me financially secure for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's great. That's right. So there's a sense of I have discovered about myself a way of not having to worry about money itself, but B, being able to have whatever I want to have. Security would then involve not having water dripping down from your roof. You know, I can open doors, I can enjoy myself, I can have whatever I want on any kind of level, because I've seen the bag. It's just that it was hidden from me all this time ago. I hid it from myself when I thought that the only way to survive was to be long suffering and to submit to control.
Interesting.
So brilliant when you threw everyone out, because at some level you threw out a lot of your old limiting beliefs along those and memories at the same time, which was absolutely fantastic. I love this dream because it just clears things out so quickly. I love it. So walls shimmer and collapse. Yay! Brilliant! But the ceiling remains.
I remember being in the dream, and I remember, you know, I was totally fascinated by how softly they started to shimmer, and then they just quietly dropped down. It was one of the best parts of the dream, actually.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah. Because if they hadn't shimmered and softly dropped down, what would have happened? In what other ways might they have disappeared?
I have no idea. This dream was not a lucid dream. I wasn't pushing anything.
No.
I just went along for the ride, so to speak, you know.
That's beautiful. So I guess what I was getting at, they didn't sort of like crumble and you were thinking, oh my God, what's happening to the wall? Ceiling's going to fall down.
No.
It actually had a beautiful emotional feeling of shimmer, magical, kind of like a release. What did you think about the ceiling when the ceiling remained? What did you look at all at the ceiling?
I didn't look at it, but I knew it was there. I found it, at the time, I found it curious, but I found it also very comforting, I suppose is the word. I found it like it was sort of a protection.
A roof over my head.
Yes.
Like a roof over my head,
exactly.
Yeah. So that fits in with the bag full of money and the feeling that I'm sort of secure and safe. I've got a roof over my head. But I can see clearly, I can see all this wonderful, amazing stuff without no longer being locked in by these walls that I imagined existed. I can invite this extension of life. I can unlock all this without the roof falling down on my head. I can remain secure and safe. I have that. I have that protection.
Yes.
Previously in my marriage, I thought that, and in whatever was happening in your life 5 years ago, I thought that I had to operate within these boundaries for my security and my safety and maybe my day-to-day comfort. But suddenly I realized that that's not true.
Yes. Unfortunately, at the time, I didn't, as I put a little postscript to it, I don't know what's going on here, so I did not get to actually think about the dream or divine about it, and that's at the time, you know.
So, yes.
Yeah.
But you did, you know, even though you didn't consciously analyze the dream, there's a sense, you know, often a dream will end as unresolved, or something doesn't work out, or it's kind of blocked. And those are the dreams that can be really powerful to analyze, because you can then work out, well, what is the block? What is the limitation? What am I going to do to shift this in my life? Or am I going to bring in some dream alchemy to shift this and everything can change? What your dream has done is actually caught the moment where you were actually doing that anyway, and the dream is reflecting it. So something would have happened, even though it didn't, even though you thought life was same at the time, something happened in your life around that time in the dream, or actually happened while you were processing life, that suddenly it just, oh, actually I can open a door, actually I don't need this, actually things are different. It actually caught the transformation, and it found you at the end, you know, on that island, that beautiful crystal clear lake. And the feeling of water, but this, and the punchline, I love, Jan, I'm sure you do, the feeling of water, but I'm not afraid, it's exciting. You know, we've changed from the water at the beginning coming down from the roof, like from your top, from your mind or your intellect or your spiritual outlook, and coming down on you and being sort of frightened of it, or I've got to get out of here, I've got to fix this, and it's completely put that on its head, and it's now water coming up, from the ground, yes. But it's exciting. So you turned a whole fear on its head, opened doors, opened the possibility to enjoyment, and felt excited.
Yes, indeed.
Although you didn't analyze it at the time, I would predict that that change then stayed with you at some level. It might have taken a few days to kind of percolate up, just like the water percolated up in the dream with the excitement. It might have taken a few days for this change, which essentially would have happened in your unconscious mind, to percolate up like that crystal water into your back up into the top of your head and into conscious awareness, and may have then precipitated surprising changes. You may have then suddenly thought, oh, actually life is less locked up, there are things I can do, I have potential, I can open up to enjoyment, I feel safe. All sorts of wonderful things may have then happened. So would you like to take over for a while now and reflect upon this?
Well, sure. Gosh. As I say, there was no preamble to the dream. I just didn't do it. But the postscript is this, and this happened to me in the next 7 to 10 days after the dream. So I've written this down. So a couple of days later, I go to buy a book for a friend who's dying of cancer. I decide to go to Young's bookshop, but at the last moment go to Angus and Robertson. As the girl is looking for the book on the computer, I look past her, and there on the wall is a magnificent art book. I ask to see it, also the price. It is $130. I can't afford it, but looking through it, I see that the artist, author, is using techniques that I could possibly use in my art. Now, I'm sprung here in as much as I'll tell you I'm an artist.
Okay.
I tell my son about the book, and the next day he calls and says he's put the $130 into my account. I buy the book, and on the way home I take it to a fellow artist who is very well known. And in our conversation, she shows me a flyer for a forthcoming workshop that she is conducting the next day, and I decide immediately to do it. you want to say something?
I'm just excited.
Okay, so while what I learn in the workshop does not help me emulate the techniques that are in the book, it does give me the skills and technique that allows me to create my Warrior of the Dreamtime, a work that I have been wanting to do for years. But up until then, I knew, because I'm self-taught, that I didn't have the skill to do him. Mm. The night before I determined to start him, my dreams are endlessly full of hundreds of eyes on every level, all shapes, all sizes. And when I wake, my eyes feel gritty as though I have not closed them all night. Somewhat tentatively, the next morning, I go to the canvas, knowing that if I don't get his eyes right, there's not much good proceeding. I draw his eyes, and they are perfect. And slowly he emerges from the canvas, and when finished, he is beyond my wildest dreams. He is unlike any subject I have ever painted before. that's the end.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. It brings tears to my eyes. Oh, to my eyes. Oh, how fantastic. So in many ways, he percolated up, didn't he?
He did, but I have to tell you at this stage that I found his photograph in a terribly old, I mean, I think it was about 19, I found it at least 15 years before I started to paint. I didn't start to paint till I was 60. And I was mesmerized by it. It was a tiny little photograph in a tatty old photograph photography magazine. And I just thought, my God. And then I saw when it was taken in 1937, which was the year that I was born. Mm. So I just tore the page out. And he has been with me in various boxes ever since. And then it was not until after this dream that I realized that I could capture him. And that's what I did.
Oh, that is just so beautiful. I love it so much. So all those openings of doors and openings of cabinets was finding a way to, was also ultimately led to opening those tools that you had within you but needed the workshop to really bring to the surface, so that you could then go back to the dream warrior? The dream warrior who was also in the cupboard. You sort of brought him out and painted him. How fantastic. Yeah. So you'd had the photo for 15 years. I'm just doing some quick maths here. So that was after you'd been divorced.
It was at least 15 years before I started to paint. Like, I've been painting 20 years, okay?
Right.
And why I kept him, like, you know, I thought, 1937, that's a good year, obviously. But, you know, I hadn't even countenanced painting in those days. I mean, when I was 60, I just woke up one morning and thought I might paint. Hello.
Oh, you know? That's beautiful.
Yeah, as you do. And, but it's not just that, Jane Therese. It's what has happened in the 72 hours since I contacted you.
Keep going. We're all ears.
Okay, I think I had mentioned in one of my very brief emails to you that, and I'm not sure, no, I said that I had a photo that I should send you for you to understand the postscript.
Yes, and I said I don't know what it is, but if you send it in and if you give permission, we'll put it on the blog to show people, and that's all I know. So now I know what the photo is about.
That was it. So here it is. So since my initial contact with you, this is what has happened. The day after, during my meditation, I've done TM for years, the dream, the format of the dream came into my mind's eye. And it was only then, if you can believe it or not, I think I'm a slow learner, I suddenly noticed that it was typed. Very strange, because, of course, all my dreams are handwritten immediately after I have them. Then I realized that the font I had used was very flamboyant. It's called Lucinda Calligraphy. Then I noticed it was typed in 20-point, huge. And then I noticed it was double-spaced. And I thought to myself at the time, talk about screaming, look at me, look at me. And I had written, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, talk about a slow learner. So regarding the typing of the dream, I think, so I had it at 4 o'clock, I think I might have lain there thinking for a little while, and then at 5 o'clock got up and typed it, because I do get up early in the summer. But then, there's more. As I was sitting yesterday morning, that Sunday morning, having my breakfast, a thought came into my mind, and I thought, why had I said to you in an email, I think he's waiting for you, because he has been sold. So why would he be waiting for me, for you? Then I looked up, looked across the room, looked at my easel, and there, newly finished 2 days ago, was my reprising of my Warrior of the Dreamtime, which I had finished 2 days before the dream fell out and I contacted you.
Oh, beautiful.
So, I'm getting the feeling it's not about me at all. It's about him and you, I have to say. It's, you know, I mean, dreams have been part of my psyche forever. I can remember when my boys were very young, toddlers. They're in their 50s now. And as soon as their eyes opened in the morning, they'd rush in and we'd swap dreams. And, you know, it was all very... And even now my eldest son, if he can remember a dream, will you know, will ring me.
Yes.
I have to tell you, I'm not just a dream recorder. I'm a dream hoarder. I have books stuffed with dreams going back over 30 years. But the trouble is, at the height of my recording days or nights, I would wake up and find 8 foolscap pages full of dreams. So the downside of that is that yes. I rarely got to sit and look at them.
Yes.
And, that's where I am. Yeah,
there's that I think many of us can relate to that, you know, and sometimes it's worth, in retrospect, or as we all go forward, it's sometimes worth writing them all down and then pick a number, any number that you feel that you can cope with, you know, and for many people that's just one a week or one on the mm-hmm. weekend when they sleep in and can remember their dreams, and for others of us it might be one from a whole collection overnight, you know, the one of the 5 dreams that really stands out. But for each of us as individual people, I think we have to acknowledge that there's no way we can give totally honour, you know, by interpreting 4 or 5 dreams a night every night for our entire lives. So we do have to, you know, select those. And maybe in many ways that's partly one of the focal points of your dream, was it's like, you know, focusing on this one picture, this one element that came out of the dream that, as you say, and I'll just clarify for people listening in. So the email you sent me said something along the lines of, so much is happening, and I know that I'm not allowed to tell you anything, but just telling you this, so much is happening. Are you sure you don't want to know any of this before we go to air? And I said, I'm absolutely sure, because I know that our listeners love listening to this all unfold together. And you said, for example, I've got a photo. Shall I send it so that Michael can show it to you when we get to about this point in the podcast? And I said, no, hold on to it. I really want to see it, but I'm going to go with this. And then maybe if you still feel like it, you can send it through and I'll put it on the blog. And then you wrote back and said, that's perfect. I think he's been waiting for you all this time. So that's just sort of filling
that's
in the
exactly
gaps
right.
for the people.
That's how it unfolded.
That's
yep.
how it unfolded. Yep. So you, listeners, you will find that, assuming you're still happy sending it, Jan. Are
sure,
you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find that on the blog that accompanies this podcast. So on top of all that, and totally acknowledging what you said there, that you said, I feel this is as much about, you know, getting this guy out to meet me, Jane Teresa, and also then to meet all of our listeners and the people that come to the blog. So, you know, he wants to be out there for some reason. On top of all of that, why do you feel, what else do you feel may have been happening on the couple of days around when that dream fell out of your journal, now that you've got the bigger picture, so to speak?
No, I have no recall.
No,
I
okay.
really, and I'm very cross with myself. I mean, if I had written the dream, I would
yeah.
have, you know, some preamble. But the fact that it's typed and it was
yes.
right away from the books, you know, that I keep of my dreams.
Okay, well, I'll suggest one to you. On one level, you have unlocked this second version of the painting, because he's going to go very public on my blog. So, and as he goes
well,
public, I wonder who else goes public along with it. I can't think who that might be. Oh, that's right. It might be you. So,
well, look, I have to tell you too, and I should have mentioned this earlier, I'm not an Indigenous Australian.
Yeah.
I am not an Indigenous Australian. So painting him is unlike anything. And if you look at my Facebook pages, you'll see all my paintings. I've got them up there. They're colourful, they're bright, they're light, they're fun, they're nothing like this. I have never painted like this before or since. Well, I did him this last one, but never.
When
so that's why
yes.
he's totally unique to me, you know?
What energy does he, when you look at him, what energy does he speak back to you through his eyes?
Oh, spiritual. He is just... Truly, he's unlike any Aboriginal a painting or image that I have ever seen,
mm-hmm.
ever. Because when I finished, I thought, oh, I wonder what is out there painting-wise for Indigenous Australians. And I went and looked and there was nothing. And I thought, well, I don't know, you know. He is so inspirational. He is so beautiful and so powerful. I suppose they are the words that I would use
yes.
to describe it.
So in many ways he's bringing out, he's facing you with the beautiful and powerful aspects of yourself.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
and
there's
another spin
yes.
on Indigenous there, and it's that if we're taking, if we're looking at even waking life symbolically, then what is the indigenous part of ourselves? You know, the indigenous part of ourselves is the most ancient part of our being.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the fact, would you say that you're, because I obviously haven't seen them, I didn't know you were an artist, and I'm now really excited to have a look, but would you say that your other paintings are also spiritual?
No. No, I don't think so. Well, I don't consider them so. Look, a lot of people love my work because it's very, very colourful, and it's very, you know, I'm not into art speak. I'm into, you know, I say if a person stands in front of my, one of my works and is uplifted by it, is it, because there's a lot of quirkiness in there. My inner child is out, and it's not going to be put back in.
Good.
That's all. That is all I ask, you know.
So that's spiritual on a level, because what you're asking, all that you're asking, is for it to, is for your work to shift and inspire and move other people, and that is what spirituality is about at some level, isn't it? It's about gifting that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes,
but this other painting really is. I'm really interested that it's to you. It's powerful. It's bringing out your own. It's touching your own indigenous roots, not as in Australian Aborigine, but the very depths of your ancient wisdom, however far back that goes, that, you know, it's something on a kind of spiritual level. And I'm also excited because if we go back to the original dream 5 years ago, the water was flooding from the ceiling. And I think when you listen back, you'll hear me say something like, you know, if the house were representative of the self, the ceiling or the roof might be your mind, it might be your intellect, it might be your spiritual self. So, you know, if we go right back to then, it could have been at the time of the dream, some kind of spiritual outpouring that you were feeling flooded by, something that felt limited, blocked, becoming aware of, fearful of, because you wanted to get out of that room. It might drown me if I open up to the spirituality, something around that. And then in actually opening the door to something new, which then might have been opening to a new spirit, opening unconsciously to my more spiritual self, everything opened up from there. So then, falling out of your journal again a week ago, however long ago it was, might have been another step of, yes, I'm at that point in my life now where, with, as we all know, with spirituality, you don't just arrive there, it's continually unfolding. There is a new unfolding happening for you at the moment within yourself, and that's at a practical level is going to be manifested by sharing your work more widely, as you are doing here. How is this going down?
Well, I have to tell you that a few days ago I was talking to a friend, and I said to her, you know, I've spent the last 20 years painting. I think it's time now. I'm thinking this winter what I'll do is I'll start teaching meditation.
Yeah.
Because that's my other passion. And she said, yes, do it. And I said, yeah, I think I will.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, dear.
So there's two things springing off that for me. You know, one, well, apart from congratulations, one is that it comes back to you saying, if people stand in front of one of my paintings and they get something from that, then that's wonderful. It's all I can ask. That's essentially what you're doing in teaching meditation, is you're bringing people to a place where it is then for them to absorb something from that on a spiritual level. And the other is that your guy, you know, who represents both the warrior, dreamtime warrior, and also some your own ancient wisdom, obviously has to take a prominent place in your meditation classes, whether he's just there as a painting, whether you invoke his presence in some way, or you get people who meditate to maybe in their own non-artist ways recreate in art their own warrior of the dream time,
yes,
or the warrior of the
exactly.
meditation.
That is another extension and a possibility, absolutely. Mm. I mean, I have to tell you that the first one sold within a year. I didn't want to sell him, but I was broke at the time, as out as the weather, and I got a very, very good price for him. It was a name your price type thing. And with this version of him, I thought, I'm not going to let him completely go. He is going in a competition in about 3 weeks, and it's quite a good prize. Well, maybe he'll win, maybe he won't. But what I've done is I've had him professionally photographed, and I intend to do cards of him and a limited edition prints of him.
Oh, great.
Because I want him to go out and be seen by people and not just one person. And the first painting that I wouldn't sell, and then this chap arrived one day and said, I'll have him. And I said, no, you won't. He's not for sale. I'll have him. I want him. Name the price. And so I did. And then he said, I have a property here in Bridgetown, and it's called Orana, which is Aboriginal for welcome.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, okay. That was it. He's gone off.
But he's returned.
He's returned.
That is fabulous.
And, so what a journey, hey?
It's absolutely fabulous. And I love, apart from just, you know, loving hearing your story and feeling the excitement that all the listeners will feel too for what's going to happen for you next and what's going to happen for him. And what's going to happen for all of us when we gaze upon your prize winning picture. I feel there is so much more. I can't put my finger on it, but there is so much more going to come out of this. So I'm so glad that dream fell out of your journal and fell next to my book, Dream Alchemy, and prompted ask me to pick you because, yes, there's going to be wonderful things come from this.
You know, I suddenly thought the first time he came, you weren't there. And it was like he came a second time, and it was as though he knew that in 2 days I would contact you, and he was not letting the opportunity go. It was like that, you know. You didn't pick up the dream the first time, girl. Well, have a look now. You know?
we've done him proud. He can relax. He can go and have a drink now.
Exactly. Terrific.
Oh, look, that is so wonderful. We're very close to our hour, so we do need to wrap this, Jan. What a fabulous, fabulous sharing. And I particularly love... you know, in my own life and I guess in a lot of my blogging and writing as well, and in working with a lot of people, I love it when we can bring the dream into every day and begin to look at what's happening in everyday life, begin to look at the synchronicities, begin to interpret the synchronicities, begin to draw all the threads together and basically see the bigger picture of how dreams intertwine with life, intertwine with everything. Your story has so beautifully illustrated all of that. And I guess the true Aboriginals would also pitch in about the dream time there and say, yeah, well, that's what the dream time's all about, actually. That's kind of like the big picture of everything. So before we let you go, because we do have to let you go, is there anything else that you or the Dreamtime Warrior feel you really have to say before we wrap?
Look, no, in answer to your question, I'll answer for him. I think he'll think to himself, gotcha. I think that's how, you know, finally she's got the message, thank God, you know. And I'm pleased for him, but you've been fantastic interpreting my dream and brought up things that I would never have thought of, but now I'll go and think of. And it's been just so wonderful to talk to you. I felt very solitary in my dream journey, and now I don't feel that way. So thank you so much.
That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Jan. Thanks for being an excellent guest, and I'm sure you've shared so much for all of our listeners that your light is going to spread. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful to talk.
Wasn't that fabulous? So I hope you're inspired not only to pick the occasional maybe once a night dream to explore deeply, but that you've also inspired to keep your eyes open and watch the synchronicities and the goings on in your life and interpret those as well, to put everything together as a big picture. Also, of course, I know that curiosity will absolutely kill you if you don't go to Jan's Facebook page, which I will have the link on the blog as well. You'll see that, to see her other artwork. And maybe if you're in Western Australia, to look her up and go to her meditation classes. So as Jan did say herself during our exploration there, you know, she said that thing about when she puts a picture up, the most she can ask is that someone stands in front of it and has something to take away from it. then I hope that you also have taken something amazing away from listening to Jan's story, her dream and her synchronicities today. It's been a pleasure to for us to have you with us all for yet another episode of The Dream Show. And the next one will be episode 203, which will be due out on the 27th of April 2018, if you're listening to this in real time. And if you're not listening to it real time, who knows, you may be listening to this way ahead into the future and have gone back all these years, you know, maybe about 5 years, to find this particular episode. And then you might ask yourself the question, why am I listening to this particular podcast at this particular day in my life? What can I take from this for me? Goodbye until then, except for those of you, of course, who I will see between now and then through my services or through the courses. Have a beautiful month, and I'll see you in April. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.